For a good time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. All right, so I bring you greetings from the sermon. And of course, we studied the Bible. Hallelujah. Okay, so last week was the 25th. Last Sunday was the grand finale of the 25th anniversary of Surpassing Grace Assembly. Hallelujah. Why are you looking like that? We disappeared. The Bible has said that we should put some people in charge of all the running around so that we can give ourselves to prayer and what? So we went to the mountaintop for you. Hallelujah. But then we sent you links now. Hallelujah. It says that when they see the mountain of the Lord, in the latter days, they will see, then the people shall come. If we have gone and the people come, who will they meet? There will be some people here. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was a wonderful time. I hope that you will avail yourself of the opportunity of listening to the messages. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And the Bible says, whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning, hallelujah, so that we, through the comfort, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope, hallelujah. Let's read it again. For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. Amen. So that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. And Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But this scripture says that these things that were written, we need to go back to them so that we can learn from those things that were written. Hallelujah. Just like we had Bible school this morning. Okay? And we're talking about the different scenarios there. And it's important that when we read the scriptures, we read to learn. Amen. It is in that learning that we can see the comfort and the patience that the Christ brings. Hallelujah. Amen. After I tell you this message, no hopeless situations till you give up. That's what I said to you. No hopeless situations till you give up. Hallelujah. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 17, which Pastor Divine just read now, and verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when it comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Hallelujah. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Says, blessed is the one that trusts in the Lord, and then whose hope is what? Is the Lord. Okay? Whose hope is the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you trust in the Lord. Amen. But your hope is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And that's how everything begins. So someone says that if you want to know about what the use of a thing is, you need to go to the beginning of that thing. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 says, it says that, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created he them. Hallelujah. And then in Hebrews chapter 3:11 verse 3, the Bible says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Hallelujah. Then we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says that let us make man in our image and in our likeness, okay? And let them have dominion over the fish of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. He says, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. And Hebrews 11 tells us this, that the things that he created, the worlds that he formed, they are formed by what? Hallelujah. Amen. So that the things that we see, okay, Hebrews 11 verse 3, were made from the things that are not seen. Hallelujah. And that's the image, that's the image and likeness of God that he has even deposited on the inside of us. Okay? So that we also have the ability, okay, the capability, to create our world. Amen. And we are not going to create our world except we create our world by our words. Hallelujah. And mind you, creating your world doesn't always mean it is positive. Amen. It doesn't always mean it is positive. When you employ the right words, then you will see the right things, the right results. Hallelujah. And that's why oftentimes, I don't know why it's only mommies, they beg that we careful the words you speak to these children, okay, because they are words, and if they are negative, they are creating a world around them. Hallelujah. But that's the kind of authority or the capability that you have. Look, see, all these vehicles that you see around, if you go and sit down in any one of them, they will tell you that, and if you look at the speedometer, all of them have, at least all of them get to 180. all of them will get 180, right? Let me just stay safe at 180 or 200. Every one of them gets 180 or 200 on the speedometer. It means that each one of these vehicles can actually attain that speed of 180 kilometers per hour. It depends on who is driving it and who is employing that capability. Hallelujah. Pastor Divine said the road is like, if you see their devil drivers, even if you give them those kind of roads, they don't care. They will move. Don't let me teach you batting. They will move at that speed. Eh? So when you're on those roads, the best thing is don't slam your brakes. Those kind of roads you're talking about, don't slam your brakes and don't leave your steering. You will fly. Okay? There's no bad road. You will fly. Uh-huh. But if you press your brake, then things will happen. But I'm saying that if whether it's a Benz or a BMW or a Datsun, 180 kilometers per hour is a standard measure of speed. Abi? So if any one of them attains that, you expect them to be moving at the same speed. Hallelujah. So what makes the difference? One, the driver makes a difference. Okay, so one end of them are at 180. And you see that I am at 180, is at 180, is at 180. What else makes a difference? So if I'm, what about the car? All of them are 180. So what about the type of car? And that's what I said at the beginning. So all of them, Mercedes, BMW, whatever, all of them are 180, already kilometers per hour. But you see, what makes a difference is the weight that each one of them carries. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why you see that all of them have different designs and different shape. So when you see one that is sleek, one bends like this, another, then you go and read. See, the reason why we have done the body like this is that when it's cutting through air, it can cut through air easily, glide through. So if we are going at 180 kilometers per hour and one is having an edge over the other, it's because it's not carrying so much weight and so much body. Hallelujah. So keep that one in your left hand. I like Mr. Saji. That one that you carry weight and body, keep it in your left hand. Hallelujah. Amen. But the bottom line is that every one of us was created in the image and in the likeness of God. Everybody. That's man, generally. Was created in the image and likeness of God. And we see that God created and created the world by the words that he spoke. Okay? Amen. So we go back to Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. So when we employ our words properly, okay, when we employ the right words for situations around us, we begin to see results that are different from results that people do not employ their words properly to see. It says the things that you see, things from the things that are not visible. Hallelujah. So the man that is constantly employing his spiritual, expanding his spiritual base, capacity, okay? Like, is it Jude 1:20 that talks to us, says that we keep speaking in the Holy Ghost that way, you are building an edifice. The man that continually explores his spiritual capability is the one that will get this result. Amen. There is no hopelessness until we say we give up. Now, what is hopelessness? Hopelessness means the feeling that hope has been destroyed or focusing on a dilemma that cannot be solved. Amen. When you focus on a dilemma that cannot be solved, it looks like it's hopeless. But the Bible is telling us that we are made in the image of God and in likeness of God. In verse 1 of the book of Genesis, verse chapter 1, it says the earth was without form and it was void. Hallelujah. It was practically hopeless. Amen. Until God started saying and started speaking things and bringing them into being by his words. Okay? So it is what you want to see that you begin to see. Hallelujah. So if you say something and you see The funny thing is, the passion with which we say negative things, we do not always employ it to say positive things. Tell me how. Look at the situation of this country. If once we hear that the dollar has gone up, the value of the exchange rate has gone up, everybody, some people very happy. Happy? Because they'll make more money. Some people will be sad. Hallelujah. But everybody will be like, is it going to get to 2,000? And they will say it with so much passion. And then tomorrow, he gets to super and say, we said it. Yes, you said it, because you will see it. It's a principle. It's the word of God. You get what you say. Amen. Forget all the things that they do, all those economic plays. Forget it. This is the only country that it has been proven that what works in another country does not work here. As long as when I was a boy, I know that structural adjustment program was imported to Nigeria. It worked where it was used. When it got to Nigeria, it became nothing. Everything just scattered. Even when you look at the principle of economics, it is not happening here. That means to tell you that those things that people rely on are not the ultimate. When everybody now sits down and relax, and everybody's quiet and is concentrating on God, you see things begin to happen. You say, how did it happen? Is it 1998? When that president died and the whole country started jubilating. The day he died, nobody was expecting it. Everybody had given up and said, we'll just continue with this hopeless situation, so to say. It was practically hopeless. We were not going forward and we were not going backward. And everything else looked like it. But then God was walking behind the scenes. And so when God is walking, when things look like they are bad, be sure, know that God is walking. When they look very, very bad, know that at that point, God is at his best. As in what you are seeing, they are just relics. Hallelujah. And it says here that you need to employ your words properly. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to read from verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all round, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Amen. Number one, it was in valley of bones. And then he said, they were very, very dry. He will show you how hopeless that situation is. And then the Lord asked a simple question. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? Hallelujah. So if my biology is right, your bones are tied to sinus, and then the sinus have what? On top of the sinus, you have flesh. So, how do I describe it now? Maybe everybody has slaughtered chicken before. Abi, chicken. Or you have eaten it. If you have not eaten chicken, I think you have eaten the leg. And that was what we grew up with, the leg and the neck. So when... the way this is happening, you just laugh when you remember the past. The leg, there's no nutritional value there. And the neck... Yeah. So when I was, I think it was serving myself, my boss, we didn't have so much body. We must eat. So when we go to Zatec, Zatec at the Adamasigba, and we park, we look at the money we have. Then we get in, we buy the leg, and then we buy the neck, and then we buy gizzard, and then we go jeje, and then we go and feel fine. Now when you take the leg of chicken, and then you break the phalanges, those small, small things. You see that oftentimes they don't separate easily. You have to now pull those things that are like obstructing, that won't allow you to do anything. Those ones are the sinus. Okay, so the designers usually hold the joints and everything together in place before God now covers those bones with flesh. Eh? And then that flesh now leaves blood. Eh? And in that blood is the life. So when he was asking this question, God was asking the question that was very deep. He says, can these bones live? He has gone to the very, very basic of it. Number one, it was dry. Number one, they are bones. It's not even a body that was fresh that he was talking to. Huh? He was talking in a totally hopeless situation. It's the very core of the human skeletal system. I said, look, can it live? And then if you are a medical person, bones don't live. Bones depend on a lot of other things to live. So the fundamental question, and if your knowledge is going to play you, just like, and this man was very careful when he was replying God. If your knowledge, if it was us in this age and time, you say, God, Alpha, you know, this thing is too, you just say, Alpha, now, this thing cannot work now. Abba, it's bone, it's dry. Yeah, who will water it? That's how we'll be querying God. Okay, next verse. So he said, answered, oh Lord God, you know. That's what Ezekiel Isaiah is. Oh Lord God, you know. And then the next verse. And again he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, prophesy to these bones. You need to take that. That one is the second one in your left hand. Which was the first one in your left hand? He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Sorry, I want to pick something. He made us in his image and in his likeness. And everything that he created, here's his word. Everything. No matter, you know, we are the ones that call things non-living thing, and then we are the ones that separated them. But everything that God created, here's his word. In Jeremiah 22, and verse 29. I don't have Bible. It says, O earth, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Another translation says, O land, hear the word of the Lord. You remember the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in the Old Testament? Do you remember that story? What happened to them? They were swallowed by the land. Hallelujah. What did the land do? The land opened up. So how did the land open up? Because God spoke to the land. Amen. God spoke to the land. He said, these ones, every one of them, plus the household, be careful, the things you do. He said, everyone plus the household, they are going to go. And then God spoke. And the only reason why the land opened up, because God spoke, and because every one of them, they hear God's word. So if you are facing this situation, everything that God created, here's the word of God. Now, when God placed man when God created man, he says, have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that he had created. Meaning that we have the capacity and the capability to command these things by the word of God. Amen. Go back to Ezekiel where we stopped. Ezekiel 37. And then verse 4, it says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. See what God is saying now. He said, let me read it again. Verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. And then what did Ezekiel do? In verse 7, he says, so I prophesied And as I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Hallelujah. But note what he said. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. You know, everybody always takes the word of God as a blanket to misbehave. He says, I prophesied as I was commanded. Meaning that he was not stepping out of God's will. Amen. Bible says that you see, once you don't ask amiss, if you ask according to the will of God, you will receive. So if when he was prophesying, he was saying things that God did not command him to say, he will not see what God wanted him to see. Amen. So he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And then he says, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, verse 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. The next verse. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. Hallelujah. So where we started from, see the process from where they started from. The process looked totally hopeless. Now some people now come, they will say, this is between Ezekiel and God. That's what they will say. Hallelujah. But like I showed you this morning, God's principle is God's principle. And that's why I read Romans 15 verse 4. That whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Okay? And I told, when I was talking this morning, I talked about the serpent that was raised in, I think it's Numbers 21, that God commanded them to raise that serpent. And then whoever looked at the serpent will be healed. Whoever the serpent had bitten and then looks at this one will be healed. And then you know what the children of Israel did? That serpent, that bronze serpent, they eat it and carried it with them from generation to generation, and then they turned into a god. Now, why did they turn into a god? Because God had put like a principle upon that thing that whoever looks at it, if it's beaten, and God didn't remove it. Hallelujah. So in their own wisdom, that was another god to worship. They forgot that the power, that whatever power they were experiencing, was because God put an authority upon that frozen serpent, that when you look at it, then you'll be healed. And so they continued worshiping it. And then in 2 Kings chapter 8 or 18, that you see, that they continued worshiping it until Ezekiel rose and said, why are you worshiping this? And then he destroyed it. Amen. Ezekiel said that in verse 7, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, he didn't look at the hopelessness of the situation. And that's why I read Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 8. And let us read it again. The scripture says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For it shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by river, and will not fear where it comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. He said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. Ezekiel understood the fact that he was having an encounter with God. Amen. And he wasn't jumpy. God asked him a question. And they said, Lord, you know. Amen. Lord, you know. And God took him to the worst case possible. That they were dry bones. Have you seen dry bones before? You have seen dry bones before? Where? Cow bone. You were at the abattoir. But even the one at the abattoir is still fresh. Have you seen the one at the cemetery before? When you go to the cemetery in this country, you will have stepped on, maybe you have even stepped on your great grandfather you didn't know, because you don't they exhume bodies to bury. The last time I was there with Setman, we went to conduct a service. And then Setman said, "You know, Setman, now very very brave man." Then I said, "Pastor, we are going." And then we are going. I said, "Setman, please hold on." As we entered, he said, "Just be following." I said, "Setman, I looked to my right. I couldn't look like I'm right again. No, I was just looking at Setman's back like this. I just amen. Because some of them were open. They were open. Now, when you see those bones that are very dry, what's wrong with this, Pastor Sajiri? You need to go to the graveyard so that you will learn to understand what you have. Amen. And I just thank God for the experience. You learn to understand that it is the breath of the Almighty that gives us this life. What's wrong with you? Have you killed a ram before? Early chicken. You have killed a chicken before. See, can you see? See your chicken? Bam. And me, I cannot kill a chicken. I cannot. Can you see? Hallelujah. See, when we tell you these experiences, it's because we learn from them. So, those dry bones. In fact, when you have dogs, you see those bones, they are dry. You look at it. How can this thing come back to life? Everybody has a belief that I'm going to bed tonight and I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. Why? Have you ever asked yourself why? That you are so sure. You have problems. Maybe you have challenges with financial challenges, challenges with people at work, challenges everywhere. Then you want to go to bed. You are too sure that you wake up tomorrow. But you are not sure that those problems will go away. Why? But you know that but everything is based on the same bedrock of the same faith. It is faith that is unexplained to you that makes you believe that when I go to bed, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And so when people are talking to you, you're going to plan and say, "I'm going to see you tomorrow." And don't forget, the Bible says you're saved by the grace of God. So when situations come around or come or face you, why don't you look at those situations and tell them that I'm going to overcome you? So when those situations come, everybody just sit down and be quiet, or you start sweating. We have to understand that we have the capability and the capacity to bring out what God has deposited on the inside of us, which is that we've changed our environment by our words. And so in that vision, Ezekiel was like, "I spoke as I was commanded." Let's go to John chapter 11. John 11. And the story of Lazarus is a very popular story. Verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go, that we may die with him.' So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. The mother, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Mother said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Amen. Let me read again. It says in verse 24, Mother said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." This matter is like Pastor Divine. Simple question. She's talking of rising in the last day over syllabus. Hallelujah. He says, "Do you believe your brother will rise again?" He says, I know that in the last day he's going to rise. Don't tell him. Let the ignorant be ignorant still. So he says, verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, and so verse 24 says, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Hallelujah. You know, it says, no, go to 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I look at this thing, I don't see that die as physical death. So, if you believe in him, those things may look shady or unexplained. If you believe in him, it will bring clarity to it. Death is in any form. Just like when we were looking at Acts 19 this morning, and we said that, look, it doesn't have to be you worshiping a Diana, a god, like that. It could be anything that you have placed, put in the place of God. Hallelujah. So here he's saying that even if though he may die. So you say, "I'm a believer. Things are happening to me. Why is it happening?" That's a form of death. Hallelujah. He says, those things happen, you will live. You will overcome. Next verse. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He says, "Do you believe this?" And then the next verse, he says, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "He has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, went out, followed her, she's going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 38. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Hallelujah. Martha, the sister who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Hallelujah. Says there is a stench, he has been dead 4 days. You know where there is a stench? If I start describing why there's a stench now, all of you start doing your face like, "What's this one?" You know where there's a stench? Because the body was already decomposing. That's when the stench comes. Because bacteria started acting. And that body was not preserved. They just put it there. Bacteria started acting. 4 days. It was a hopeless situation. I'm just showing the hopelessness of the situation. It was hopeless. So, have you bought Have you gone to market and bought meat and you forgot it and then it started decaying? First thing that the meat will turn green. Abi? Are you sure? You're sure? It will turn green or blue or red. It's green. Final answer. So it will turn green. Okay? It begins to change. And then it begins to smell. That's when you go to parties. Once you perceive, you know that this meat is stayed too long on the counter. Nobody attended to it. So he said for 4 days. That was a hopeless situation. But wasn't as bad as the one Ezekiel saw. This one Ezekiel saw, if it was this kind of body, all the flesh had disappeared. This one still had the flesh, but it was hopeless. He said, there is stench. Why are you telling us to remove the stone? And then, where did I stop? 40. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Amen. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now, at what point did God hear him? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Hallelujah. He said twice, he groaned. As I was reading it, he groaned twice. And the scripture says that the Spirit intercedes with us, for us, with groanings that we cannot utter. Amen. See, the thing that God does not do, he does not expect us, he will not even tell us to do it. Hallelujah. So when he said, be thou perfect, as the Lord God is perfect, some people still argue up to today that it's not possible for you to be perfect. But then God is not a wicked God. He will tell you to do something that you cannot do, that he has not given us the capacity to. Somebody was talking to me one day. He said, all men cheat. He said, all men cheat. I said, okay, no problem. All men cheat. And then we went to Ibadan this last Sunday. So that was during the week. All men cheat. Everybody talks based on his experience. Abi? So if I say all mothers beat, it's because my mother used to beat me. If she's here now, she'll say, you this boy, stop saying it. He's a lie. I'll continue to say it. She beat, leaving the letter of me. So all of you that are beating your children now, when they grow up, they'll be like me. They'll just be telling everybody that you're beating them. Stop beating them. Leave her. Now she's raising a soldier. Leave her. Never. You know, when you are raising, I don't know how to say it. So in this country, there was a man and his two sons. The three of them were in the military. The man was in Lower Kedah, and his two sons were top. The younger of the two sons was the head of the military, and then the senior one was after him. If the senior one sees the elder one, he must salute, because that's military. Now, if their father sees the two of them, the father must salute. Leave him. So people are saying it now. Don't worry. Leave him. Okay, so where was I? So when we got to, so because it was 25 years anniversary in Ibadan, we were playing videos of people, everybody was testifying, and then some old people came to testify. And then one lady came out. You see, when we were growing up then in the vicinity where church started in Ibadan, it was in Setman's father's compound. He had a room, maybe like that other room, just half of this room. And then we all come together, we have fellowship in the evening, so that we won't be jumping around. You know, the way boys just walk around, and then we just do that. And then these young ladies, they will come. They were young girls. They were in their secondary school. They will come to fellowship, and then they will go back home. And now, today, she manages her father's multi-billion naira business. But she comes to church and says, these men, all these men that brought us up, they never for one day defiled us. Our people entrusted us into their hands, and they never for one day. So I just laughed. I said, maybe I'll carry this girl to go and tell that one that say, all men cheat. Because it was not one, it was not two. She was talking about Zetman and Pastor K. And we were a lot then. I remember that they used to come, five of them, they used to come to my house because I was serving. They used to come to my house. I would teach them physics, mathematics, and which other one? I'm not sure, but I remember physics and mathematics. They would come, the three sisters, and all of them would come. They would knock the door. My mother would open the door, say, you are looking for Bramuwa. They would sit down, and they would start teaching, and then they would go. That's the way life is supposed to be. It's when people have the wrong experiences that they form the wrong, and then when you begin to tell them the right experiences, they will still refuse. But that's what it is. Like Pastor Divine was saying this morning, there cannot be a fake 300 naira note except there's an original 300 naira note. So if somebody comes to arrest you now that you're spending fake 300, you say, Abba, how is this an offense? Amen. Hallelujah. So this hopeless situation, 4 days, and then he says that, Father, I thank you, that's verse 1, that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. Now, the body was decaying. He had been there 4 days. And yet he spoke and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Man is made, is a tripartite being. He's made of a spirit and a soul, and he lives in a body. Hallelujah. In the book, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the life of the body is in the blood. And that's why it was so important that there must be shedding of blood, because that's life is being given up. That was why it was so important. And that was why it was important that Christ came, so that he would shed his blood, he would give his life. Amen. And don't forget, they did not kill Christ too. Christ gave up his life on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. That story for another day. They didn't kill him. He gave up. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my soul. And then he gave up the ghost. So everything they did. As when it was time, he did that. So back to this one. This hopeless situation. Jesus spoke to the spirit of Lazarus and said, come forth. The spirit returned to the body and gave life to that body. And he came forth. If you don't learn to explore the words that he has given to us and explore them properly, we will not be seeing these things the way the Bible has said it. And Christ said something. He said, I do the things I see my Father do. And he said, greater things than the ones that he has done. That's what we are going to be doing. Amen. So if in our everyday life, the situations around us, we tag them hopeless, know that there's no hopelessness where God is. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm showing these examples in the scriptures. There's no hopelessness where God is. Amen. It takes a man to realize that he needs God and return to God so that he can enjoy these benefits. If you look at the story of the prodigal son, I think it's in Luke chapter 11. Eh? 15, thank you. Yeah. Verse 11. So it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to far away, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, then arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Let me just pause there. I saw something that I want to point us to. He says here that the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." You know, every time I always castigating this boy that is a prodigal son. Abi, everybody says he's a bad son. He collected what? Eh? What belongs to him? But the father gave the two of them. The second one did not refuse. See? So he divided to them. He's like. So he divided to them his livelihood. He divided to them. And take it. So that one just, so this one we call prodigal, just left the house with whatever he was giving. The other one remained and sat on the ones he was giving. Amen. He told them that got it to. He didn't say, "Oh, yeah, take your own." He said he divided to them. "Yeah, take." And then this one, and this is where I'm going. He says, verse 15, "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent his to his field to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Now, he said, in verse 14, he said that when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And that's the way the devil works. He had so much money. He was living lavishly. That's why he said he spent it in a prodigal way. Huh? That's what the Bible put it now. In verse 13, he said he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Uh-huh. That's why we got the name prodigal son. And then he says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. See, if the famine had arose when he had a lot of money, the next things that happened would not have happened. Okay? The next verse. It says, then he went and joined himself, blah, blah, blah. Go to verse 16. 17. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" You know what he was doing? He was eating food that was meant for pig. That's what he was eating. Have you seen pigs before? That's how you now do your feet like this again. No. Have you seen pigs before? In the swine? In their habitat? How do they look? Very presentable. All this one I do like this. So imagine that this is the son of a rich man. Huh? And then it was, even if you have a pig pen, you know, those people that raise pigs, there's no amount of cleanliness you have. Those pigs are always pigs. They will just be that dirty. And he was eating food. That's a situation beyond remedy. And then this man looked at it that this thing is hopeless. So he looked at it that if I continue like this, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Meaning whatever even whatever he was feeding on from the swine, it was not anything to feed him. But the Bible says when he came to himself, meaning that the time he left home, he was not himself. Hallelujah. He had been beclouded by the things that he thought were good living, good sign of good living. You know, when you are warning people that stop eating the way you are eating, they will say it's a sign of good living. People that have one pack like myself say, it's a sign of good living. It's a problem. It's a sign of problem. And then he says, "I will arise and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy of you to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And then he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. I was saying two Thursdays ago, that when Jesus gave up his life on the cross, and there was earthquake, and the veil was rent into two, there was access to the throne of mercy. But I said one thing: God didn't come out of, he didn't get up from that throne and step out. It is man that should go in beyond the veil to the throne of mercy. So when this boy came to his senses, he thought of it and thought of it. It's just like, when I get there, go down and tell that person why. I'm very sorry, blah, 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 blah. He was still thinking it. But when his son approached him, went back home, the Bible says that he arose, came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. God is always waiting for us to come. So when we think a situation is hopeless and we stay in that hopelessness, know that we are depriving ourselves of the things that he has had for us. Amen. That is reserved. Because you cannot finish God's bounty. You cannot finish the possessions of God. Hallelujah. Even though he had taken his own portion, even when he came back, his father gave him a great feast. And the one that was at home started complaining that me, I've been here. I've done everything you want to do. The father said, you are the one that did not lay claim. Abi, you are the one that did not lay claim on what you have. So we learn from the two of them. One is that stay in your senses always. Hallelujah. I'm not saying go and ask for everything and go away and come back. Stay in your senses always. And always approach the father. Until he approached his father, the father did not go look for him. The father was just waiting, hoping that one day he would come. And when his father saw him from afar off, that he was actually coming back. And the father got up and ran to him. Amen. The other one. Verse 28. Let me take it from 25. It says, now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as can you see his problem? His problem was not possession. No. It's a young goat that is his problem. One went away with his possession. This one is complaining that he didn't give him a goat. Different strokes for different people. He says, and yet, you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But son, as soon as this is a son of yours who had devoured your livelihood with allots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. He says, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Meaning that if he had asked, he would have had it. Amen. You know, sometimes these biblical principles, I just test people around me. I just test people around me. There was a time I wanted someone to go and help my wife. I didn't want to travel. My wife wasn't travel. And I just wanted someone to go and help her. So I approached, assuming I approached Bolu now. I said, please, will you go and help my wife? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't have a visa. How will I get there? And I'm like, is this person serious? The first question is, will you go and help? Or should be the answer? Yes, I will. Then leave me to this. And so when all those questions came, and I said, ah, what's the problem? Even me that I'm asking you for help, do you think I don't have... You know why I'm saying this? When blind Bartimaeus, when Jesus said, go and call him, and Jesus asked him, what would you have me do for you? He didn't tell Jesus, can you not see that I have a problem? Can you not see I've been screaming, I've been sitting there? He didn't ask him that. He said that I may... What was the question? What can I do for you? And, you know, this age and time, that's the problem this generation that is coming up is facing. When you ask them a question, they will ask you, if you ask them question A, they will answer with answer Z. So when the person started asking all those questions, I now sat down and said, ah, what's even the problem, Seth? Let me go myself. But I didn't want to go. And I was ready to go and take visa. Oh yeah, take money, fly. I just said, you're not even. I just went myself. Sometimes I ask my children, I ask them questions. Will you do this and do this? Or do this and do this? I just smile. And I just show them, you know what? What is your behavior? This is what you just lost. Because the ordinary thing is to obey first. Then I didn't know. You don't need to know. It's God. Amen. It's God. His father is telling him. Our God image. His father is telling him, all that I have is yours. If you had asked, you would have forgiven. Because his problem was he goat for him and his friends. Now, this fatted cow that the man killed was for his household and everybody. It wasn't for the boy and his friends. And oftentimes we make that mistake. That we are not asking the right questions. And we are not giving God the right responses. God is not going to step out of his throne and say, where are now, Alpha? You have to go to where he is and ask. There is no hopeless situation that he cannot resolve. His ways are far above our ways. Hallelujah. But then he has given us that great access to him. He says, whatever things were written before, they were written for learning. And when you learn, you make use of what you have learned. Amen. We were growing up, my sister and I, she was 2 years ahead of me, but we learned to drive at the same time. My sister, and we went through the right procedure, the right process. We had learner's permit, first issue 3 months, second issue 3 months, third issue 3 months, fourth issue 3 months. We had that, and we were driving with the help lead, and then we went to the testing ground at LLA in Ibadan. We did all the tests together, and when we finished the test, they gave us our driver's license. If I bring that letter, you'll be laughing. They gave us our driver's license. And my sister just put it on the cupboard and forgot about driving. So I was going driving all around. She didn't start driving until she started giving birth. Now, this was 1992 when we were leaving secondary school. She started giving birth 2003, 2000 and something. And she had learned it how many years ago? So you know what happened? She had to learn over again. Whatever things were written. Brother Toji, whatever things were written, Romans 5:15, verse 4. I don't want to be reading from my head. You know why I don't read from my head? Because sometimes you forget. So if I give you this Romans 15, verse 4, and I tell you to summarize it, we all give a different summary. But the joy of it is in the right words. It says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning. So of what use is what you learn if you don't put it to use? if you don't put it to use. Immediately I left secondary school, mom, I seized that car from my mother. She wasn't driving again. Till I left Ibadan from 92 to 2005, for 13 years. She didn't drive again. I heard my sister was at home. She won't drive. Come and drive. No. When you learn, especially the word of God, you make use of it. When you stop these things in your heart, it becomes profitable to you and you only. If you go to Psalm 1, let's take it from verse 1, then we'll soon be over. After this, we won't do anything again, don't worry. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So in his law, he meditates day and night. Okay? That's the habit of the blessed man. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever it does shall prosper. He says, he brings forth its fruit in its season. When you hear the word, you meditate on it day and night, you will bring forth your fruit in your season. Hallelujah. So when you learn it, when you hear it, you learn it and you don't make use of it, there is no fruit that will come forth. The joy is in learning and doing. Amen. If we hear the word of God, we do it. He says, I think it's in Joshua 1:8. He says, that you may observe to do. This book of law must not, that you may observe to do. So if he says we have the creative ability of God, then we need to employ that creative ability of God positively. You know Joshua, is it Joshua that stopped the sun? He said Elijah was a man of like passion. Like you and I. It means that he was human like you and I. And yet he prayed fervently and there was no rain. Have to get to that portion. You have to get to the realization of these matters, that hopelessness exists when we give up. But when we see an hopeless case, it is time for God to be glorified. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, he said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. And this thing I'm doing is so that people may glorify your name. Let's rise to our feet. Father, we give you all praise. Let us thank him, give him praise. Thank you because we see what he has given to us. We see what he has asked us to, and deposited on the inside of us. That when we speak, when we ask anything in his name, he will give to us. That son and his father, the father said, all that I have is yours. Only employ the right words and you will receive it, manifest it physically. Let's thank him because we ask and we do not ask amiss. Ezekiel was saying, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Give him all the praise and all the glory. Thank him for his word works. And indeed, we see it profiting our life in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray.